Chapter 4.
Aya!
Cass gasped, and she pulled her arms up to cover her chest.
I just needed some water.
The redhead mumbled, and she looked away.
I didn't see you two until just now.
I'm sorry. I hope you aren't upset.
I'm more upset that I didn't think of it first than anything.
I frowned. Cass looked at me with curious violet eyes and then glanced back to Ira.
You could join us if you like. I know how it feels to need Rat, and I don't want to keep him from you. As long as you don't mind sharing.
Ira half smiled and looked us up and down.
I suppose that would work.
It's settled then.
Car said, and she held her hand out for Ira to take it.
I guess so.
The redhead laughed and took Cass's hand.
You're way too overdressed, though.
Cass said, and she reached down and pulled Ira's tunic over her head.
But that's an easy fix.
Oh, it was incredibly sexy to see Cass pull Ira's clothes off, and once the redhead's tunic was a crumpled mess on the ground, I was able to take in the sight of her naked body. Her long red hair hung down to her waist, and she looked at me with lustful eyes as she sauntered over to us. Her full hips swayed with each movement, and her ample breasts bounced slightly with each step. Then Ira reached out and grabbed Cass by the back of her neck, and my cock throbbed in anticipation. Cass's thighs tightened around my hips as Ira bent down to kiss her, and when I felt Cass's pussy twitch in response, I realized my fingers were still inside of her. Ira's piercing green eyes remained locked on mine as she thrust her tongue into Cass's mouth and wrapped her fingers in her mane of curls. Cass groaned as she pulled away.
Your turn.
Ira told me, and she leaned down to capture my mouth with hers as well. The redhead ran her tongue across my bottom lip and then gave it a little bite before she started to kiss down my neck. Oh, come here. I reached out and grabbed onto her hip so I could pull her closer to me. Cass lifted herself off me then, and she got down on her knees in front of me. I pulled Ira's naked body to me so I could run my hands up her stomach to her breasts, while Cass undid the tie of my pants to free my erection.
I love your manhood so much.
The strawberry blonde pulled my cock from my trousers and started to stroke it slowly while she ran her tongue around the tip and sucked on it. Oh, fuck. I breathed as I savored the feel of Cass's mouth on my cock and Ira's full breasts in my hands.
I want some of that, too.
Ira said, and she licked her lips and lowered herself onto her knees. The two women were both naked in front of me, and they started to lick up and down my cock. The feel of both of their mouths on me drove me wild, and I threw my head back and allowed myself to enjoy the experience. Oh, fuck, that feels so good.
You taste good.
Oh, I bet you taste better. I growled and I grabbed the redhead by the arm and guided her to the ground. Cass had already gotten one orgasm, so it was time for Ira to catch up. Once Ira was on the ground, I pulled my cock away from Cass and knelt down so I could put my face between Ira's legs. Cass laid down next to Ira and started to stroke the redhead's stomach and pinch and tease her nipples while I kissed my way up her muscular thigh to a sweet spot.
Oh, fuck.
Ira moaned as I gently pressed my lips to her pussy. She was soaking wet for me, and the taste of her sweet pussy made my cock throb with anticipation. I licked her up and down, and then I thrust my tongue inside of her until she gripped onto my hair for dear life. My tongue worked around in circles and up and down until I could feel her thighs tighten round my head.
No, Rat, don't stop.
Ira panted as her grip on me tightened even more.
I'm going to come.
Ira's back arched as her orgasm overtook her, and my mouth was flooded with her sweet cum. I lapped up every bit of Ira's pleasure, but the taste of her in my mouth was almost too much. I couldn't take it anymore, so I lifted myself up and pulled Cass on top of Ira. The strawberry blonde got onto all fours above the redhead, and her perfect ass was in the air so I could see just how wet she was for me. I rubbed my cock against her glistening pussy for a second before I slowly pushed myself inside of her.
Oh, yes.
Cass moaned as I filled her completely. My cock bottomed out against her womb, and her velvet walls clenched me tightly as she struggled to fit me inside of her tight pussy. Oh, fuck. Oh, you feel so good. I growled as I gripped her ass with both hands. Ira groaned and pulled Cass's face down so she could capture her mouth once more. The sight of the two of them kissing only fueled the fire within me, and I pounded into Cass' heart as I watched them go at it. Ira reached down and began to rub Cass's clit as I pounded into the strawberry blonde from behind, and the slick sound of our lovemaking filled the warm night air. It didn't take long before Cass's body seized up and she arched her back and let out a low moan.
Oh, fuck!
She groaned as I continued to thrust in and out of her as hard as I could.
Don't! Stop!
I kept going, and a second later Cass's pussy clenched me hard as she was pulled into waves of ecstasy. I could feel her pleasure, and it made my cock twitch as her sweet pussy spasmed round me. Oh, she looked incredibly sexy on all fours with her back arched and Ira under her. But Cass had gotten her second orgasm now, so it was time for Ira to get hers. After Cass rode out her waves of pleasure, I laughed and smacked her ass before I carefully pulled myself out of her. She crawled off Ira and then moved to sit by the warband leader's head with her legs spread open wide so I could see her swollen pussy lips. Gods, the two of you are too sexy. I growled as I grabbed Ira's hips and pulled them to me. The redhead gasped as I slid inside of her in one smooth motion, and she gripped onto Cass's legs for support.
Oh, fuck yes. Fuck me hard, Rat. I know you want to.
Oh, that's what you like, isn't it? I asked as I slammed into her hard.
Yes.
She panted and closed her eyes.
I want her so bad.
Her breasts bounced up and down with each thrust, and Cass reached down to squeeze them and pinch her nipples, which only served to turn me on more.
Oh, you like that, huh?
Ira moaned, and her green eyes bored into mine as she worked her hand up Cass's thigh and inserted two fingers into her still dripping wet pussy.
How about this?
Oh, gods. Cass moaned and leaned back as Ira used her fingers to fuck the Valkyrie hard. Her thrusts matched mine, and I felt my pleasure building. The feel of her was nearly too much to bear, especially when paired with the sight of her pushing her fingers in and out of Cass.
You're so big.
Ira said as she lifted her hips to meet my thrusts.
Harder. Oh, please, Rad.
Oh, harder, eh? I growled, and I grabbed onto her hips and slammed into her as hard as I could.
Oh, yes.
She screamed, and I saw Cass's body tense up at the same time.
Fuck, I'm coming.
Cass moaned, and she threw her head back with pleasure. Her naked body was lit up with the firelight, and I could see her sweet pussy clench around Ira's fingers. Oh, gods, you're so fucking sexy, I said through gritted teeth.
Fill me with your comrade.
Ira purred, and her mouth opened wide as her eyes closed. A second later, her pussy clenched and spasmed on my cock as she was overcome by her orgasm. The sight and feel of her and Cass coming at the same time sent me over the edge, and I slammed into Iris' tight pussy once more and allowed myself to climax. My balls tensed and my cock pulsated as I held her in place and filled her with my seed. I let out a guttural yell, and Ira cried out as her pussy fluttered around me. Oh, the feeling of our combined pleasures was nearly too much to handle. And after I finished coming, I stayed where I was, deep inside of Ira's tight tunnel, while I caught my breath. It took a few minutes for me to be able to breathe normally again, but once I caught my breath, I slowly pulled out of Ira and watched as my cum seeped out of her swollen pussy lips. Oh, fuck. Oh, that's so sexy.
How about this?
Ira asked, and she pulled her fingers from Kars's pussy and placed them in her mouth. Oh, my cock jumped in response, even though it was worn out at the moment. Ooh, yeah, that's, that's sexy, too.
I figured you'd think so.
I definitely do. I smiled. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Kars said breathlessly, and she lazily opened one eye to look at me and smile.
That was wonderful.
I'm glad you had a good time, I said with a small shake of my head. We should really get some sleep, though. We need to meet the dwarf dealers tomorrow.
Right.
Ira sighed and shook her head.
Those bastards.
Yeah, we'll get them.
Oh, I know.
She said before she looked over at Svas, and a small smile tucked on the corner of her lips.
I just think about the dragons you have here, and how awful captivity would be for them.
Yeah.
Kars nodded and sat up so she could look across the fire at Asta and the sleeping dragons.
Thankfully, none of them have had to go through that, but it breaks my heart to think about.
Especially when I think of all the dragons who are still in the trade.
Ira shook her head. We're going to get them all, I said with a reassuring smile, and I reached out to touch each of them on the arm.
I know.
Kars smiled back and put her hand over mine.
Fuck yes, we will.
Ira said, and her determined green eyes sparkled in the firelight. Oh, the girls and I finally untangled ourselves, and then we got dressed and curled up with Asta and the dragons. I was in the middle, with Kars next to me on my left side, Blar in between the two of us, and Ira behind Kars, with Svas nestled in both Kars and Ira's hair. Kars laid her arm across my chest and curled up next to me, while Ira chose to lay flat on her back and put one arm behind her head. On my right was Asta. The white-haired elf girl slept in the fetal position, and Inga was curled up against her stomach, safely nestled against her warm body. Ufe, who liked his space, was curled up at our feet, and after a few moments I felt him gently place his head on my foot and let out a little sigh. The girls became still around me, and I listened to the calm sound of their breathing and the crackle of the fire next to me as I stared up at the thousands of stars in the sky. Tomorrow morning we'd head to a meeting spot in this very field so we could take the place of some dragon dealers who were supposed to be meeting with these dwarves. The only other dwarf I'd ever met was the one who'd created my weapon. He'd also made Asta and Kars's weapons, and he'd been kind, for the most part, though he was clearly irritated when we'd shown up in his shop unannounced. I didn't blame him for that, though, since the portal landed us right in the middle of the little creature's workspace. After meeting him, I couldn't imagine dwarves being cruel enough to be part of the dragon trade, but it seemed I was mistaken. The more I found out about the dragon trade, the more I realized all kinds of people and creatures were capable of absolute evil. There seemed to be no end to the reach the dragon trade had, and I could only hope I could put an end to it before too many more dragons needed to suffer. My team and I had already freed so many, but it never felt like enough, not when I knew there were more out there. I let out a deep sigh and closed my eyes. They'd free the dragons, every last one of them, no matter what it took. The next morning, I woke when the world was still cast in darkness. The fire had diminished during the night, so I got up and put some fresh wood on it before I grabbed one of Kars's books and fanned it a few times to get the flames going again. After the fire was roaring once more, I heard a small yawn, and I looked over to see Blar getting up from our bed. He stretched and shook himself off, and then he proceeded to walk on top of Kaas's arm instead of going around it to get to me. "You are so rude," I chuckled softly, but the little blue dragon just came to sit by my feet and yawned again. Then he looked up at me with round blue eyes that pleaded for breakfast. "All right, all right. I'll make you food." I retrieved some supplies from the cart so I could get to work on our meal, and by the time I made it back to the fire, the girls were waking up too. Asta stretched and sat up. Her long white hair was somehow immaculate, and she smacked her lips a couple of times and then smiled at me.
"Good morning."
"Morning," I said with a smile. "You look lovely."
"Oh, thank you."
Asta blushed, but then noticed I had supplies out for breakfast.
"Would you like me to make tea?"
"Oh, yeah, that'd be great."
"Yes, tea sounds wonderful."
Kaas yawned, and she sat up next to Asta. The Valkyrie's hair was more wild than usual, partly from our love-making the night before, and partly from sleep. I stifled a laugh at Kaas's untamed hair, but the strawberry blonde saw me, and she flashed me a glare before she combed the unruly mane out with her fingers.
"What's for breakfast?"
Ira asked as she got up, walked over to the fire, and sat down. The redhead seemed incredibly well put together after a night of sleep, and unlike the other girls, she didn't yawn or stretch at all. She was wide awake and ready to go, which I figured was a trait she got from being a warrior for so long. I could only imagine there were times where she had to get up early in enemy territory, or while traveling to battle. Get up and go, that was the warrior's motto. Some smoked meat, bread, and baked apples. Just something easy, since we'll need to get going soon.
"Oh yes, that sounds easy."
Ira chuckled and shook her head. "It's not difficult, but we do need to go over our plan while we eat."
"I like that idea."
The redhead nodded.
"What's the plan for today?"
"Well, I was thinking about the dwarves. They can see through disguises, right?"
"Right."
Asta nodded.
"That's what I've heard as well."
"So, we won't be able to disguise ourselves like we did yesterday. We'll need to try and make them feel comfortable, which means we'll have to act like we're dragon trade dealers. Can you all do that?" Asta pursed her lips.
"That will be hard, but I will do it for the sake of the dragons. I want them to be safe, and this is the best way, right?"
"Yes." I smiled at the elf girl. She was the one I'd been the most concerned about, so it was nice to hear her say she could handle it.
"It's all we can do right now,"
Ira said with a grave and determined expression.
"We need to catch these bastards."
"Right. We'll all need to keep our cool and try to make sure we don't let our disgust show."
"Easier said than done,"
Ira mumbled before she took a deep breath and looked at me.
"But I think I can manage. Do you think they'll be disguised?"
"I was thinking so." I nodded and looked at Asta. "You said dwarves often disguise themselves to appear larger than they are, right?"
"That's right."
Asta nodded.
"What if we hid instead of trying to make it seem like we're the new dealers?"
That might be a good idea,"
Kaas said, and her curls bobbed as she nodded.
"Then, if we need to attack, we'll have the element of surprise on our side."
"All right. We also don't have to try and act like we're on their side if we hide."
"Oh, phew, that was going to be hard."
"Well, if they do have enchantments on, can you remove them?" I asked Kaas.
"I'm sure I could."
She nodded.
"But it would take me a minute, especially if there are a lot of them."
"Well, I'm guessing 5 or 6. Once we get the cart set up, you let us know where you need to be to undo the disguises, and we'll make sure to keep you hidden during the fight."
"I should be able to do it from inside the cart. I was looking at spells to improve our new mode of transportation, and I found one that will allow me to see out from inside. You can create a magic window." "Essentially."
Kaas nodded.
"Though it will only be visible from the inside."
"Oh, that would be great. It will probably be best if you're in the cart, so you'll be less likely to be interrupted during the fight."
"Okay, I'll try and work as quickly as possible."
"I appreciate that. And I don't think it will be too hard to lure them to us since we have the dealer's cart."
"Right. Once they get close enough to realize nobody's out there, it will already be too late.
Exactly. I grinned. Blah rolled over at my feet, sighed, and looked at the fire where I had our breakfast warming up. Then he glanced back at me so he could bat his blue eyes pitifully. Yes, I told him with a shake of my head. Breakfast is nearly done. He licked his lips and stared longingly at the food over the flames.
You really can't blame him for being hungry all the time. He's gotten so big in such a short time.
I know, I smiled. He's growing like crazy. And Gandufe, too.
Yeah, I suppose they are already nearly double the size they were when they hatched.
Kaas frowned.
Oh, they're growing so fast. That's good. Aren't they supposed to grow quickly?
Actually, I'm not sure.
Kaas shrugged.
I don't know a whole lot about dragons. All of this is pretty new to us.
Ira pursed her lips.
I guess you're right. I just figured since they get to be so large, they would grow really quickly. But I wonder how long it takes for them to reach their adult size.
Asta, do you have any idea?
I think it's about 2 years. They'll be huge within a year, though. At least Inga, Ufe, and Svas will be. I'm not sure about Blah, since he's not from Alfheim. I wish we could figure out where he's from.
Kaas said, and a worry line appeared on her forehead.
He looks so different from any of the other dragons we've encountered. He kind of looks like Nidhogg.
Right. But none of us know Nidhogg's origins either. He's so ancient, I doubt anybody knows.
Why don't you ask him the next time we see him?
Well, I can try, but he constantly speaks in riddles, so I doubt he will tell me.
That's a good point. It's incredible to think you all have met Nidhogg.
Ira shook her head.
He is a creature of legends. Oh, right. You joined us after we saw him last.
Asta said with a frown.
Maybe you'll be here next time.
Oh, I definitely will be.
The redhead said with a grin.
I told you all, you're not getting rid of me that easily.
I think it's admirable you're willing to give up your position for the time being in order to assist us.
Of course.
Ira nodded.
Like I said before, this is the most important mission I've ever been on.
This is the only mission I've ever been on.
You got a good one for your first time, then.
Ira smirked. Breakfast was ready, so I dished up bowls and set them out for the little dragons. I placed Ufe and Svas's bowls on one side of me, and put Inga and Blas on the other. This way the new little dragon wouldn't be intimidated by how violently Blah and Inga devoured their food, though she seemed to devour hers the same way. Once the dragons were eating, I dished up bowls for the girls and handed them out. The meal was nothing special, but it was tasty, and I enjoyed each bite as I watched as the very beginning signs of dawn appeared on the horizon. There was a lightening of the dark blue of night, and I knew we needed to leave soon to make it to the meeting place on time. I made sure to eat quickly, and after I was done, I gathered up the horse-like animals from where they were grazing in the field and attached them to the cart once more. Oh, they really were beautiful. One was a dark brown color with a deep black horn protruding from its head, a black mane and tail, and vibrant green eyes. The other was a pale yellow color with a rust-colored horn, mane and tail, and eyes to match. They were docile and well-trained, and they didn't seem to mind at all that we'd killed their other masters and now kept them for ourselves. Once they were attached to the cart, I quickly packed up our blankets and supplies as the girls finished eating. Ready? I asked once the cart was all set.
Ready.
Ira nodded as she chewed the last bit of her breakfast.
Yes, let's go.
Kaas said, and she stood up and gathered everyone's bowls. Instead of rinsing them like usual, the strawberry blonde just put them in the back of the cart and climbed up to the bench at the front. We needed to get to the meeting spot before the dwarves arrived, so we could make sure we were in position. The elves we'd taken down the day before had said the dwarves liked to meet just before the sun completely rose, so the likelihood of someone seeing them was slim. The likelihood of being seen in the field was slim in the first place, but I understood their caution. The dragon trade was incredibly profitable for these men, but also extremely dangerous. The Elf King had to keep up appearances, and I wouldn't put it past him to throw someone in his dungeon, or even kill them just to set an example. After all, he'd thrown Asta in his dungeon simply for stealing a bit of food, and that thought made my body tense as I drove the cart toward the meeting spot. I couldn't believe the Elf King could be so cruel to his citizens. As much as I felt Odin had made a grave mistake when it came to banishing the dragons overall, I didn't think he was a poor ruler. Asgardian citizens didn't go hungry, and if there was an issue, they could take it to the council for help. Of course, there were tribes who went against Odin, and the warbands would take them out, but they were few and far between. Most of the citizens of Asgard were happy with how things were, myself included. We had a bustling marketplace where anyone could sell their wares, use of the Bifrost to visit other realms as long as we agreed to some conditions, and we were able to hunt or fish anywhere we pleased. I'd never heard of an Asgardian citizen going hungry, like Asta had in Alfheim. Before I'd met her and traveled to other realms, I hadn't realized just how much of a utopia Asgard seemed to be compared to the other realms. Then again, Vanaheim was probably the closest one could get to an actual utopia, since the gods there made the place so incredibly euphoric. But I didn't want to go back there ever again, no matter how wonderful it felt. I hadn't been able to do anything but lay in the grass and stare up at the sky for hours on end while the girls danced naked in the field. Aside from that, we'd nearly gotten trapped there, since we were so unaware of what was going on that the portal had started to close without us even noticing. Bla hadn't figured out how to teleport at that time, and while the girls and I were intoxicated from the Vanaheim air, the little dragons had been stuffing their faces with magic berries. Luckily, Bla woke me up just in time for me to get us back through the portal, but he definitely waited until the very last second so he could get as many berries as possible. The sun had nearly risen as we made it to the spot in the field we'd met the dealers the day before, and once we were in the right area, I parked the cart and scanned our surroundings for places to hide. The grass in the area had been flattened from the many meetings that obviously took place there, so there wasn't any grass directly beside the cart to hide behind. But that was probably better, since we were trying to lure the dwarves as close as possible. Well, I think we can hide in the grass. Cass can be in the cart, while the rest of us take cover and wait for our chance to strike.
I think that's a good plan.
Ira nodded.
It shouldn't be an issue to get them close if there's nobody out in the open. They'll probably just assume the dealers are in the cart.
Exactly. We'll just have to be careful not to be spotted in the grass.
We can stuff some of the grass in our hair. That way they won't be able to see the tops of our heads. Normally I'd offer to hide you with a spell.
Cass pursed her lips.
But that won't work this time.
Oh, no, it won't. I sighed and turned to Asta. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Oh, good.
The white-haired elf girl said, and she pulled her blade from her hip and cut a few pieces of grass nearby so she could push them into the braid she wore. Then she walked over to the grass and ducked down.
Can you see me?
I tried to find her, and I even stood on top of the cart, but she was well hidden. Oh, not one bit. I grinned.
Yay!
She cheered, and she stood up, clapped, and bounced up and down on the balls of her feet.
I'll put some in yours and Ira's hair, too.
The elf girl started to cut some more pieces of grass, and I took in the sight of her in the dim morning light, surrounded by the bright yellow grass that matched her eyes. She wore her hair in two long braids, so her elf ears stuck out the sides, and a few flyaways framed her face. She had on her yellow tunic and deep grey armor that was nearly black. Inga was on her shoulders, still half asleep, and the bright red dragon acted as a sort of accent piece for the entire ensemble. Asta's slim waist and wide hips were accentuated by the breastplate of her aegis, and I couldn't help but smile at how delicate she looked, even when she was ready for battle and had a fire-breathing dragon on her shoulders. Asta walked over to Ira, and the stark contrast between the two women was astounding. Whereas Asta appeared dainty, even with her armor on, Ira appeared commanding and intimidating. The redhead's jaw was set, so her perfectly plump lips pouted just slightly, and her green eyes stared ahead, with the focus of a soldier preparing for battle. Her long hair was pulled back into one thick braid that hung down her back, and she wore a simple short black sleeveless tunic, perfect for moving around in. Her armor was a practical steel, fit her exceptionally well, and showed off her sexy full figure, and her long sword on her hip only served to add to her warrior aesthetic. The only thing that softened her appearance was the little sleeping dragon curled around her neck. Kaz sat on the back of the cart, and her strawberry blonde curls were still a mess, but they matched her wild beauty. Her violet eyes were intent on her spellbook, and though she wore her armor, she sat so casually it looked like it was simply part of her outfit, instead of something required for battle. Ufe was curled up next to her, and she absent-mindedly stroked his back as she read over the spell on the page. Her lilac eyes narrowed with intensity, and her red lips pursed and twisted to the side as she thought. Kars's sharp jaw led down to a small, dainty chin, and her high cheekbones were flushed with color from the brisk morning. She wore the same white tunic as she had the day before, and I smiled as I thought about how incredibly talented she was, and how lucky I was to have her on my team. Asta finished putting the grass in Ira's hair, and then she came over to me and started to weave the foliage into the braid on top of my head. Just as she was finishing up, I saw Ira's eyes narrow to our right.
They're coming down the road.
Oh, everybody get in place! We all hurried to our positions as the dwarves approached. Kars and Ufe retreated into the cart, while Asta, Ira, and I moved into the grass in the surrounding area. Bla was with me, Svas was with Ira, and Inga was with Asta, as usual. I crouched down, and I could feel Bla's claws dig into my shoulder slightly as he perched on my back and prepared for the upcoming fight. From my vantage point, I could see the dwarves' cart as they approached, and I did a quick tally of the men I could see. There were three in front of the cart, but I imagined there were more in the back I was unable to see. The sun was rising behind them, and the fact that there wasn't anybody standing outside of our cart didn't seem to be deterring them, since they continued to come toward us. We'd definitely been right, though. The dwarves were disguised as elves. I didn't blame them. They were incredibly small creatures, no more than a couple of feet tall, so it would make sense they'd want to be on the same level as whoever they were doing business with. The one holding the reins had long, deep black hair and a dark blue robe on, while the other two had blonde hair of the same length. One wore a bright red robe, and the other wore a dark brown one. It almost seemed as though they'd gone a little overboard with the disguises, since they were clearly out of touch with how elves actually dressed now. Elves wearing robes was a sort of stereotype even I'd thought was true, until I visited Alfheim. It seemed strange to me that these dwarves, who did business consistently in this realm, wouldn't update their disguises to better fit the times. Not to mention, robes were incredibly impractical to fight in. I pushed those thoughts to the back of my mind and took a deep, steadying breath as their cart entered the little area we'd carved out. The leader with the black hair pulled on the reins to halt the animals, but his eyes narrowed as he looked around.
"Hello?"
he called out.
"We'll be right out,"
a male voice called from the back of the cart, and I smiled when I realized it was Kars using a spell to disguise her voice. The black-haired man still seemed skeptical, but he urged the other two out of the cart and then hopped down himself. After a moment, several more men appeared from the back of the cart, and I did a quick tally of them all. There were seven dwarves altogether, which was more than I'd figured, but still not too many for the girls and I to handle.
"What's taken so long?"
the black-haired, elf-looking dwarf called out, and I saw his eyes narrow even further as he took a few steps back. The look on his face told me he realized he'd walked into a trap. Now was our time to strike.